This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل فقال رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. صدق الله العظيم. So yes, we concluded, you know, left you in suspense, left you on a cliff to say what happened from here. We concluded the segment by saying the two girls standing there modestly bashful, Sayyidina Musa asked them the reason why they would stand aside and aloof, and they said that we cannot go in there when the shepherds are there. And the scholars say because obviously they were men and we cannot rub shoulders, this was their modesty. And of course the beauty of a woman is modesty. When Allah describes the damsels of paradise, Allah says, وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ أَتْرَابٍ هَذَا مَا تُوْعَدُونَ لِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ إِنَّ هَذَا لَرِزْقُنَا مَا لَهُ مِنْ نَفَادٍ وَعِنْدَهُمْ. And the dwellers of Jannah, may Allah make us from amongst them, would have these damsels, قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ, who would be modest in their gaze. And one tafsir I read is so amazing, and I'm just having a flashback of it now, that these women's gazes will be modest and their beauty would be so stunning that it would actually make the gazes of their husbands also modest, meaning it would drop their gazes down as well. They will be mesmerized by the beauty of these damsels and these spouses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, maqsuratun fil khiyam, well guarded in their pavilions. Khayratun hisan, khayratul akhlaq, hisanul wujuh, striking in their character and striking in their appearance and sublime in their character. Lam yatmithhunna insun qablahum wala jan, and they will not be deflowered by any human or jinn before that. Often when the topic comes about of the damsels of Jannah, and of course Allah describes it, right? Kawa'iba atraba. They would have well-developed chest and breast. And this is the verse of the Quran, atraba, of equal age. Ansha'nahunna insha'a, we have created them. Faja'alnahunna abkara, they would be virgins. Uruban atraban li ashabi al-yameen. And naturally, commonly, often, a sister would ask, and what is there in Jannah for me? My sister, I say this here, Allah has promised that you will be happy. Leave that surprise and wait and see how Allah satisfies you. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. And for you in Jannah is what you yearn for, what you pine for, what you crave for, what you incline for. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And in Jannah is whatever you demand and ask. So rest assured, there will be no shortage, no deficiency, no lack of anything. So I was saying the beauty of a woman, of course, is modesty. Ya ukhti la tarfa'i anki al-khimara fatandami suni jamalaki in aradti karama. Oh my sister, do not unveil yourself. May Allah give me modesty, may Allah give you modesty. One is the dress of modesty and one is the attitude of modesty. We need both. One is the garb of ihram and one is the state of ihram. Your piece of cloth can fall off, but that doesn't take you out of the state of ihram. You could be having the cloth of ihram on you, the towel of ihram on you, but you could be violating the sanctity of ihram. I could be dressed in a modest garb, but I could be doing the direct opposite. So we need to complement both. We need the dress of modesty and we need the behavior of modesty. And when it comes to dressing, then Allah has impressed on a woman in her dress code to be, you know, very much modest and bashful. And when it comes to restraining the gaze, then Allah has put much more limitations on a man than a woman. On a general note, of course, the Quran says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Tell the men to restrain their gaze and tell the woman. But if you make tatabbu' of the nusus, if you critically analyze the text, you would realize on the dress code of a woman, she's been told to be much more covered and concealed. And a man has been told to be much more protective of his gaze. And this is the beauty of Islam. So they were standing there modest. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam, out of his kindness and empathy, took the flock, gave it water. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. He watered the flock. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِ. And he set them off. And then he took shelter beneath a shade of a tree. And he said, رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Oh my word, you know when you see how the scholars unpack each word, it's just mind-boggling. رَبِّ, oh my Lord, إِنِّي verily I, لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ, the good that you can send down to me. And by the way, أَنزَلْتَ doesn't mean the good that you can send down, it actually means the good that you have sent down. التعبير بالمضارع بدل الماضي. فيه الاستعطاف. This is mentioned in Balagha, in Bayan al-Quran. So Sayyidina Musa didn't say, Allah, I desperately need the good that you will send down. He said, I desperately need the good that has come down. So he's used an expression of a past tense, meaning absolutely desperate. I am really down and absolutely begging with my begging bowl. Now, this is a very comprehensive supplication of a Nabi, and we could analyze all the prayers of the Anbiya. By and large, you would find they are comprehensive prayers. Rabbi anni maghloob fantasir. Oh my Lord, I am overwhelmed. Assist me. The prayer of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. Rabbi anni massani ad-dur. Allah been afflicted with pain, and you are the most merciful. Rabbi ghfirli wali akhi wa adkhilna fi rahmatik. Allah, forgive me and my sibling and include us in your mercy, and you are the most merciful. And so on and so forth. And we often read these du'as, and that's great. But do we ever ponder over the circumstances that preceded the recitation of the supplication? Or do we just want to suffice on the recitation of the prayer of Musa alayhi salam? And again, I drive the point and the message, help someone who's more vulnerable than you. And inshallah, that prayer will have a different input altogether. Okay, so the girls leave and they get home. And Musa alayhi salam is now resting beneath a tree, and he has made this dua. Allah, whatever good, whatever good. And I'm saying, you help, you assist, and then you take shelter on your bed or retire on your recliner or sit under your tree, literally or figuratively, in reality or metaphorically, and then say, oh my Lord, I'm desperate. Allah, I've got this here. My son is just relapsing in his issues with substance abuse. Allah, my business is just not opening up. Allah, I'm just not having a breakthrough with my finances. Allah, I'm hoping so desperately for a child. Allah, I'm hoping to reconcile with my sibling, but it's just not happening. So assist, empower someone, and then turn to Allah. And I must also say a point here. You know, generally when we aid someone and we do it in a voluntary capacity, we feel we don't have to do a thorough job because I'm not being paid for it. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did something wholesome in an absolute thorough form. And he did it purely voluntarily out of the good nature of his heart. He gave them proper water, adequate water. He attended to everything and dispatched them quickly. And then he took shelter and he cried out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The girls arrive home ahead of their regular schedule. Ma a'jalakuma ya bintayya. Oh my daughters, today you're home very early. Yes indeed, oh dad, there was a very kind-hearted soul that offered us assistance, gracious, selfless. What's the English proverb? Help someone in whom you see no remote possibility of reciprocation, then you have lived life. Where you know that this person cannot aid you or assist you in any way, and you empower in that person, then you live in life. Then you live in life. Ma ahsantuma ya bintayya. But oh my daughters, you haven't done good. It's a strange man, an unknown man, a foreign person. He's been kind to you. You know you should be offering him some form of acknowledgement, appreciation, and reciprocation. And that's precisely what verse number 25 tells us. So this is all the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفُ كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفُ إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَى اللَّهُ لَطِيفٌ بِعِبَادِ. You must see what the Ahlul Lugha explain under latif. There's so many translations and explanations given to it. I don't want to digress. How Allah does things in unique ways, in a mysterious way. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى استحياء. So one out of the two girls came to him, Ja'at, who came to him, Ihdahuma, one out of the two, Tamshi, walking, Alastihya, bashfully. Again, we marvel at the adoption of the words of the Quran, Tamshi, walking, Masha Yamshi, Ala, on Istihya, modesty, right? So almost giving a notion that she was riding a conveyance of modesty, Tamshi, Alastihya. قَائِلَةً بِثَوْبِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِهَا. Having covered herself, the walk was so modest, was so bashful. الْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Modesty is a branch of iman. When you've lost modesty, فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. الْأَمْرُ بِمَعْنَ الْخَبَرِ. Then there's nothing to stop you from doing anything, because modesty is that natural deterrent which Mother Nature has instilled in us intrinsically to protect us against wrong and evil. But once you've violated and broken that, now you're going to do anything. You're going to be, flamboyant. You're going to be brazen. You're going to be blatant. You're just going to deliberately do things, provoke things, because there is no modesty. And one great scholar said, as Muslims, we do everything. We have weddings, we have funerals, we have functions, we have get-togethers. The only difference is that we do it with modesty and simplicity. Well, this is how we ought to do it. How often you would see non-Muslims will be blown away by the funeral of a Muslim ruler, king or monarch. Wow, your funerals are so amazing. I've been intrigued, so simple. It's not an expensive affair. Elsewhere, the undertakers charge an arm and a leg. The very people who we attract to the beauty of Islam by the simplicity of our funerals, what do we do to them when it comes to our weddings and our functions? We drive them away from the deen. Okay, so verse number 25. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. One of them come walking. عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا, with modesty, with bashfulness. قَالَتْ, she says, إِنَّ أَبِي, verily my dad, يَدْعُوكَ, is calling you, لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا, to compensate you for the kindness of giving our flock water. Now again, let's see what the scholars write. She comes out, she addresses in a very modest way. There is interaction, there is communication, but it is purely respectful, bashful, modest, platonic. Inna abi yad'uka, verily my dad is calling you, liyajziyaka ajra ma saqayta lana, to compensate you for the kindness that you have displayed. In Bayanul Quran, it is written under Masail al-Suluk, إِنَّ قَبُولَ الْعِوَضِ بَعْدَ الْعَمَلِ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنِ الْعَمَلُ لِلْعِوَضِ لَا يُنَافِي الْإِخْلَاصِ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Are you listening, my brother? Are you following, my sister? Are you grasping, my young man? Are you comprehending, my daughter? إِنَّ قَبُولَ الْعِوَضِ بَعْدَ الْعَمَلِ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنِ الْعَمَلُ لِلْعِوَضِ لَا يُنَافِي الْإِخْلَاصِ. To accept compensation for a kind gesture after the action has been done, when it was not motivated by compensation, does not go against the station of sincerity. It doesn't taint your sincerity. No, well, you did it so they can give you shelter. No, you did it for your goodwill, out of your kindness. قبول العوض بعد العمل إذا لم يكن العمل للعوض لا ينافي الإخلاص. When Sayyidina Musa did it, he didn't hint, indicate to them in any way, well, I'm desperate, I'm alone here, in case if you know, please let me know. No, he did it purely. Now Allah is rewarding him, and this is not against the station of ikhlas. You know, deen is beautiful as it has been conveyed to us. Don't assume ikhlas to be what you assume it to be. What has been conveyed to us in the text of the Quran and Sunnah, this is wholesome. And of course, the daughter knew, and this is mentioned also in Bayanul Quran, that part of the teachings of her father was mukafa'ah. Mukafa'ah is compensation. If somebody is kind, the teachings of Islam is compensate, acknowledge, reward, compliment, reciprocate. Inna abi yad'uka liyajziyaka. Again, I'm like, my word, in Balagha it is written, when she invited Sayyidina Musa, then usnidat da'watu ila al-ab. وَعَلَّلَتْهَا بِالْجَزَاءِ. So she said, my father is calling you. And she didn't say, I'm calling you. And she said, my father wants to compensate you. So that this transparency in the motive and the communication doesn't leave any room for any unsavory thoughts. La ilaha illallah. My word. So yes, there could be communication. It could be respectful, but don't give any indication to, any room for people to start thinking otherwise. Usnidat da'watu ila al-ab. She didn't say, I'm calling you. A strange woman telling a strange man, I'm calling you. Come home. I would like to talk. No. My dad is calling you. Keep the air clean. Look at the words. Look at the reflection. Usnidat da'watu ila al-ab. Wa'allalatha bil jaza'. And she said, the reason my dad is calling, he wants to compensate you. So Allah told the woman in Surah Al-Ahzab, the spouses of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all the more other women, لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ. You are not like the regular woman. But this privilege doesn't just stand. It needs to be followed up with certain values and certain practices. إِنِتَّقَيْتُنَّ. Provided you display taqwa. Because Hakim al-Ummah writes in Bayan al-Quran that nisbat bila taqwa hech hai. Nisbat bila taqwa hech hai. That being directed to someone or associated with someone, but it is not coupled with piety, is meaningless. I'm the son of this great scholar, but you don't reflect it. Like, okay, so your father is so great, but you know, where is it? So you can have this association of this being a descent of a noble family, but action it. So Allah told the honorable consorts of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not like regular woman. You are great woman. You are amazing woman. إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ. Couple it with taqwa. فَلَا تَخْبَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. When you speak to someone, then do not speak in a soft tone. And I marvel at the words of Hakim al-Ummah, and my mind just crosses here. He says, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Do not speak in a soft tone here. Does not mean that you do not, sweeten your voice. The prohibition is not on a woman when speaking to a strange man that do not sweeten your voice. He says that's a given, that's obvious, that's bidhi, that it is forbidden, unlawful, incorrect, that you shouldn't sweeten your voice. Rather, the prohibition in the ayah, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ, do not speak in a soft tone, means do not speak in your natural tone, because your very natural tone is sweet. And who can deny that? Who can deny that? The very natural tone of a woman is sweet. And yes, my sister, use that sweet, seductive tone for your spouse. Use that sweet, seductive tone for your husband. Just the call, the sweetness, the politeness, that itself would be a sense of stimulation to your spouse. But look at the qualifying statement of the Quran. This is Quran. This is divine. Let there not be sweetness in your tone, meaning your natural voice. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. So let the tone, let the voice be somewhat gruff and hoarse and not sweet, but let the message be polite. Let the message be polite. Let the message be correct. قُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. The words must be correct. Shouldn't be vulgar. Shouldn't be obscene. Shouldn't be immoral. But the sweet, the tone should not be sweet and attractive. I just hope somebody's appreciating what I'm saying here. Okay, so inna abi yad'uka liyajziyaka. We picked up on so many points here, right? That if somebody is affording you compensation, accept it. As long as it's not motivated by that, it's not against the station of Nabuwa. And then we also spoke about the fact that she kept it clear. My dad is calling you. Usnida da'watu ila al-ab wa 'allalatha bil jaza. Falamma ja'ahu wa qassa 'alayhi al-qasas. قَالَ لَا تَخَفْ نَجَوْتَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ So he comes along, and all the narration suggests that as they were walking, he said to her that, oh sister, walk in the rear, that would be better for us, and from the rear you can indicate to me, and this is how we will make our way to the house. So from the rear, this daughter of this elderly man, who we will discover as the tale unfolds, gives her direction, and she is the coordinates, giving the navigation. He's following the instructions, and he arrives at the house of these two girls. He's received by this elderly, respectful man of this house, who says to him, La takhaf, after hearing his entire story and tale, don't fear, najawta min al-qawmi al-zalimeen. Allah has granted you protection and deliverance from an oppressive people and nation. Let's wait and see. He has barely entered the house of this man to whom he has shown kindness to his daughters. What happens from here and what develops? Wait, keep your ears and eyes connected and see how the tale unfolds in its most amazing form.